Geyser, Arkansas. Welcome to the Writing with Rodney podcast, a project of the Rodney Govins for Congress campaign featuring Rodney himself with rotating guests and co-hosts. Today's episode features KABF talk show host Larry Hicks interviewing Rodney for his radio show, Let's Talk About It. It originally aired on March 11, 2024 and is republished here with permission. If you like what you hear, please consider contributing your digital spare change or making a one-time contribution to help Rodney get elected at rodneyforcongress.org. This podcast production is paid for by the committee to elect Rodney Govins.
And good morning and welcome to another edition of Let's Talk About It, heard every Monday from 9 to 10 a.m. right here on KABF FM 88.3. We are the voice of the people. Good morning to you. I'm Larry Hicks. And on this day, the 11th day of March 2024, we're going to be speaking with a very special guest, one who we hope for those of you to familiarize yourself with from now until November the 8th. And I say that because he is running for the Democrat candidate as the Democrat candidate for the first congressional district, Mr. Rodney Govins. And we are pleased to be having him on the program this morning. Good morning to you, Mr. Govins.
Good morning, Mr. Hicks. I appreciate you guys having me. Thanks a lot. Anytime I get to talk to people, that's the fun part, right? Getting to talk to people, sharing ideas. And I thought I was passionate, man. My goodness. You getting them, Mr. Hicks. Go ahead, Larry.
Well, it needs to be said.
It does.
And, you know, you say it very effectively. And as we go further into meeting this November 8th election day, it needs to be something that motivates people to the extent of them coming out to vote like they never have voted before. Arkansas is a, I'm a native of Arkansas, born and raised in this state. And I'm not the only one. There have been millions of us who have come through here. Yet Arkansas still remains at the bottom rung of the ladder in education, at the bottom rung of the ladder in economic development, at the bottom rung of the ladder in terms of health care. These are all inherent conditions that we shouldn't be experiencing. And I view it only as us experiencing those things simply because we don't have the right kind of people who are concerned about those respective issues in this state today, in my opinion. What about yours?
Well, yeah, you hit the nail on the head too, right, when you were giving that passionate speech. Because and as far as the resources here in Arkansas, you can't blame me. I voted for the rocket scientists last election, right? You know, we have a failure, and we do ourselves a disservice when we don't go vote. And I'm gonna explain this the best way, the only way that I know how to. When something is worth it, you invest time and you invest dollars, right? So when companies, you know, when companies have new products to roll out, they invest a lot in training on those new products because it's worth it to educate their staff, to train up the staff on how to deal with it, how to troubleshoot it, how to sell it, because it's worth it, because they want to go out and make money. They want to gain power. That's effectively what they're trying to do. The same can be applied into the political landscape. And what I mean by that is, during the Jim Crow era, the 1900s, going all the way back to the 1800s, there was active voter suppression that was outright public. Everybody knew that lived in the South.
Mm-hmm.
Black people weren't trying to let black people vote. They invested resources through police forces, through the sheriff's departments, through erroneous laws and rules that they made up to make sure that black people couldn't go to the polls and vote. It's so problematic because they looked at it as an investment. They invested those resources. They invested that time. They invested into the oppression of the African American community throughout that time period. Why? Because it was worth it. It was worth it for them, for black people, not to go vote. Now imagine if we could value the vote as much as they value not letting us vote, because they understand how powerful it is. And it's not just the African-American community, Larry. We rank number 50. I'm looking at everybody that lives paycheck to paycheck. I'm looking at the socioeconomics of it all. Anybody who lives paycheck to paycheck, anybody who's worried about stuffing some money in a savings account, anybody who has to make a decision between paying their rent or paying for medicine, should be out at the polls and voting. Because this
no
is the these are the very leaders that are going to set you up, societally speaking. They're going to set you up for success so that you can raise yourself from that impoverished condition, or they're going to keep you there. And now is the time to go ahead and let your voice be heard. If you're tired of politics as usual like we are, then get your butt up, go out and vote, and make sure that you know the candidate that you're voting for.
There are no excuses. Absolutely zero. Nada. None. By people who say their vote doesn't count. That is a abject, ridiculous expression to make. Your vote does count. And it is evident when you see all of these double disparities that are all around us, everywhere, from job opportunities to homes to health care to women's care. It's there. It exists. And the only way it changes is by people making a conscious effort day in and day out in order to elect the right type of people to be able to vote. And let me ask you before we go further into some of the issues, Mr. Govins, and we're speaking this morning with Mr. Rodney Govins. Rodney Govins is a candidate for the 1st Congressional District, and he is going to be up for that position in November of this year. And he has an opportunity against a great individual who is an extremely forward-thinking type of person who has the least of concern, obviously, about the people in the state of Arkansas, except those who are voting with an R behind their names, and he believes that will be enough to take him through. Well, it shouldn't be that under any circumstance. It should be predicated on what he does for the people in the state of Arkansas. And clearly his record speaks for itself. But before we get into his record and talking about some of the topics that exist here that I want you to speak to about, Mr. Govins, just tell us exactly where the 1st Congressional District is and the counties that make up the 1st Congressional District.
Boy, how much time you got? Because the 1st Congressional
District,
I think it's the largest geographical district in the state. Mm-hmm. We got 31 counties, right, including a little bit of Pulaski County there in Rose City. We've got 31 counties, so everything from Boone County up in, you know, northwest, north central area, Harrison, Arkansas, if you need a city to reference, all the way over to Memphis and West Memphis, or all the way over to West Memphis in Crittenden County. Then we head all the way down to Chico County. And we're talking Eudora Lake Village area down there. So we've got everything. It's almost like a reverse R, right, across the state of Arkansas. And it's a large geographical area, about 774,000 people, I think, according to the last census.
That's a lot of folks. Yeah. And I'm sure that in many instances in those respective 31 counties that you're talking about, they're experiencing some kind of growth that is taking place that needs to be addressed more effectively than what it has been in the last 50 years. And that's what a good congressional representative will do, isn't it?
Well, a good congressional representative, I mean, at the bare minimum, will actually show up and be home and talk to people. That's the bare minimum of the job, right?
Yes,
like,
yeah,
you're supposed
yes.
to represent people. You can't represent people if you don't ever talk to them, right?
Right.
So I think my opponents kind of laid down a really low bar, right? But we want to take it a step further. Larry, I truly believe that the only way that you can come up with effective solutions is to talk to people and get ideas. There's no secret sauce. Nobody holds all the answers. Maybe Dr. Chris Jones. He's, you know, like I say, he's a rocket scientist, right?
Yes.
So, you know, he's the smartest guy I know. Maybe he's got all the answers, but I think he would actually agree and tell you the same exact thing. So in order to go out and get those opinions and get those ideas, I cannot sit back and just talk to people that think like me. I need to talk to people that have different views and different opinions. And then we need to sit down and we need to talk and figure out, number one, why you think your idea is better than mine. I'm going to tell you why I think my idea is better than yours. And then we're going to meet in the middle. And folks, that is exactly what politics is supposed to be. We're supposed to be talking to each other and reaching across the aisle. We're supposed to be using common sense. What we're not supposed to be doing is holding so fast and so strong that we decide to be stubborn and in our ignorance allow people to continue to be oppressed and continue to be downtrodden and continue to have a lack of success because we're not doing our job effectively as leaders. You're supposed to empower people, not hold them back.
What are some of the most pressing issues from the time that you have not only lived in the first district, but since you have been a congressional candidate that the voters of the state of Arkansas are talking to you about? Well, and we got, as I mentioned, there's a myriad of them, but certainly we have some who are more prominent than others right now.
So I'm going to reserve the hot button topics for later because everybody wants to seem to talk about those until we really start having the conversation and then the real issues come up. The number one issue across the first congressional district is critical infrastructure. And I get passionate about it and I get really upset about it because a few weeks ago, and I know everybody will remember because it happens so often, the city of Helena, West Helena's water system failed yet again. So we went down there and we did a water drive, and shouts out to the Young Democrats of Arkansas, that organization at Arkansas State University, and shouts out to the political science teacher, Miss Peggy Wright over there. She allowed the Young Democrats to do a water drive. They got hundreds of pallets of water, right? We loaded up the Nissan Titan and we drove down there and we were handing out water to people that had no drinking water. They couldn't take showers. Larry, I had to make a phone call to a friend of mine so that we could go ahead and mobilize the Walmart Foundation. And the Walmart Foundation went down there. In addition to the National Guard already producing 2,500 gallons of water a day, the Walmart Foundation supplied shower stalls. They supplied additional water buffaloes, additional pallets of water. And thank goodness for the Walmart Foundation in that situation. And I sit back and I look at where my representatives at. Not just JPs and state legislators. No. Where's my congressional representation? Where's the guy in the first congressional district? Oh, he decided to go to Harrison, Arkansas for a book signing event. Because you know his biography came out. He ain't even write his own biography. It's not an autobiography. He had somebody else write it for him as well. He doesn't want to do the job. He doesn't want to represent people. He wants to represent corporate interests and corporate greed. He makes a phone call to his corporate buddies for his fundraising and for his money. That's what he does. He doesn't go door to door. He doesn't go and ride out with people and learn more about these towns that he never goes to. He doesn't do any of the things that a representative should do. And Helena, West Helena was just one perfect example. And Helena, West Helena's issue is not limited to just them. Elaine, Arkansas's water tower is in shambles. Me and Mayor Gilbert have had that conversation, and we got some ideas on how we're going to fix that. And then you go up to Leslie, Arkansas. Leslie, Arkansas's water system needs the same kind of attention. And then you start looking around, and you start realizing that a lot of these rural communities don't have adequate broadband access. This is critical infrastructure here, folks. And the rural Arkansas, we have no excuse not to provide broadband. We've got a slush fund. We just need the companies to go out there and bring that broadband product out there, and the taxpayers are paying for it. But you're not getting any interest.
The first question that people are certainly going to be asking, and I'm certainly one of those people, is how in the heck did it ever get to that level where people in Helena, West Helena are experiencing that? Because Arkansas is the natural state. It's supposed to have pristine waters from end to end, but it doesn't right now as a result of that. How is it possible that we got ourselves in this kind of condition? And what are we doing in order to deal with the resolutions as to why it's existing?
So let me first start by saying this, and I truly believe this, and this is a blanket statement. You cannot run government entities like a business. There are certain aspects that you bring from business into running a government entity like a water department, but you cannot run the water department strictly as a business. It is not. It is a municipal service.
Yes, it is.
And that's all government agencies. These are services that we provide.
Correct.
These are not products that we are selling. So when you're sitting there and you know you have to do some budgetary cuts, which we all know is commonplace in business, the first thing when I was in telecom that we would cut if we really needed to make a deep cut was the maintenance program. Well, guess what? They took that same attitude into water departments across rural Arkansas. When they needed to do some budgetary cuts, they cut maintenance on their water system. They figured they could afford it. They figured they could afford it, right? Oh, it's just temporary. Temporary budget cut turned into a permanent budget cut. That permanent budget cut went over a decade and a half. And now we're sitting here with a failing water system wondering what in the world are we going to do? Because now it's going to cost, you know, $15, $20 million to fix, when all it needed to cost was a couple hundred thousand every year to maintain it. Well, here we are, and through all the different mayors and through all the different county judges and throughout all the different city council members and JPs, we're here now. There's plenty of blame to go around when it comes to Elaine, when it comes to Helena, West Helena, when it comes to Leslie, and when it comes to probably anybody's water system that's listening to this program right now. There's plenty of blame to go around, but we're here now. So how do we fix it? There's federal dollars that are allocated for infrastructure every single year. Biden pumped in a lot more through that infrastructure bill. So, you know, shouts out to President Biden for doing that. But we need to be tapping into that. And those should not be loans that are controlled by the state
and
government.
And they shouldn't be political under any circumstances either.
It darn sure shouldn't. Mm-hmm. However, that's the way that our state government is treating it right now. And again, I want to throw out the disclaimer. I voted for the rocket scientist. This would have never happened with him. So our state legislator is actually controlling the allocated federal funds that come in that are in the form of grants. And they're loaning that money out to these municipalities at a loan rate, interest rate. These municipalities have to pay it back. It's not the state's money. This is your money. This is taxpayer money. This is my money. If anybody's going to make some interest on it, then let me get some of that interest back, right?
Yeah.
But that's not the way that they're playing the game. It is political, and they're trying to run it like a business. And the last time I checked, the state of Arkansas and the federal government are not banks, and they're not businesses.
What about the position that the governor has taken recently in terms of stating that she was allocating, what is it, $25, $30 million in order to deal with it?
Somewhere around there. But the way that she's allocating it, see, the devil's always in the details. And I think we need to really be stringent on how things are allocated. Where you should be having a grant, you're seeing a loan. Where you should be seeing, you know, a $3 million grant to do $3 million of fixing, you're only seeing $1.5 million, and then you've got to come up with another 50% to go and do it yourself. A lot of these communities can't afford to do that. You're talking about Helena, West Helena has a population of 10,000. Go down to Elaine. They ain't got nowhere near that number. There is no millage rate that you could pass. There is no sales tax that you can enact to make up for that in these small, tiny rural farming communities. And that's where the state needs to step in, and the state needs to say, we got you. The federal government needs to step in and say, yeah, we're not going to let you go without water. We got you, right? Until we can figure out a more permanent solution, this is the situation that we have, and we got to fix it for our kids.
You're listening to Let's Talk About It right here on KABF FM 88.3. We are the voice of the people, and our guest on this Monday morning is none other than Mr. Rodney Govens. That's Govens with a G-O-V-E-N-S. He is our guest this morning, and he is running for Congress in the first congressional district, and as he indicated, that district is one of the largest in the entire state of Arkansas, because it represents about 30 to 31 counties, and he is paving the way and showing how it is possible in order for us to be able to make a number of changes in how we address some of these inherent significant problems that we're going through at this moment right now. And we want you to pay close attention to Mr. Govins, because he is a name that you're going to be hearing a lot of and from between now and the 8th day of November, when the election day is expected to take place, unless there is some extreme and unforeseen. He is our guest here with us this morning. And we're going to be talking with him for the rest of the hour about a number of issues as much as we possibly can. How significant is it for you to be able to develop a relationship with these, I don't want to call them, I'll just say other representatives who are politically tuned into one way of thinking and not a broad way of thinking in that regard? How do you get your message across to them, or do you even try?
Oh man, I love talking to people with the different opinions, and they align differently politically, because that's where we have the greatest conversations. And I'll give you an example. So recently we went up to Marshall. I was having a conversation with a pretty staunch conservative, right? Now, we agree on some of the government transparency, lack thereof, right? Because I feel like the government should be 100% transparent within reason, right? There's a lot of intelligence and correct. Military things that we don't need to really be discussing and knowing about.
Correct.
So we definitely agreed on that, but we definitely disagreed when it came to the abortion hot button topic, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he's of the mindset that we need to eliminate abortion. And I'm of the mindset that abortion is a medical procedure, and that women should have the same medical freedoms that every man has. A woman should be able to go choose her own doctor, and a woman should be able to consult with her doctor and decide what she does with her body. Now, we were sitting there having this discussion, and then I just asked him, being pro-life, I don't think there's anybody more pro-life than me, Larry. I'm a court-appointed.
Everybody, Mr. Governor, is pro-life.
Everybody should be. But we're not, because when you think about what pro-life really means at its core, I'm a court-appointed special advocate. I deal with foster kids in the state of Arkansas. There's 4,400 of them. There's 1,500 approved foster homes. How pro-life are we really?
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to pro-life, we got 300 to 350 kids that age out of the foster care system in the state every year. And they are inadequately prepared to be an adult in society. That 90% of them don't know their own social security numbers. They don't know where to go for services and where to go for help. They don't know what to do being an adult. And we're letting them walk the streets, because while they can't generate revenue, they know their stomach gets hungry. And then we're surprised when they resort to crime to feed themselves. How pro-life are we really that we don't have programs in place to protect them? How pro-life are we really that our elderly community, who's worked their entire lives, fingers to the bone, finally retire? We're asking them on a fixed income to decide whether or not they're going to pay for their medicine, or whether they're going to pay their rent or their mortgage, whether they're going to be able to afford a vehicle so that they can go and enjoy retirement.
Yes.
Or whether we're going to lock them in their house and wait for their water system to fail like they did in Helena, West Helena, right? How pro-life are we really? We're not. And that's my problem. And when I explained that to that man, he actually agreed. Because abortion is not just somebody going in and there's no punch card. This isn't Subway. You don't get 9 abortions and the 10th one's free. That's not the way things work. And I've dealt with a lot of abortion survivors, because that is an intense medical procedure, and that's exactly what I'll call them, as survivors. And not one of them enjoyed the experience.
Yes.
Not one of them wanted to relive it. Not one of them wanted to do it all over again. But they would do it all over again. Because there are circumstances that we continue that we fail to forget.
And it's always the circumstances that dictate them having to make those kind of decisions.
Sexual assault and rapes are absolutely 86% are not reported in colleges and universities across the country, because there's no faith in the criminal justice system. The attack on women is not just the women's rights. They've been attacking women for decades, and I'm about tired of it. Because every single person I ever met was born to a woman.
Yeah.
Every single person.
I've not met one that wasn't. And we forget about the incest that also takes place from time to time in our nation. A lot of people think it's taboo and shouldn't be talked about. But that needs to be addressed effectively as well, in my opinion.
Well, there's a case study as a CASA. I remember going through training in 2017. And I can't remember the exact year that this case came up, but I remember all the details vividly because it hurt me. It impacted me. 13-year-old girl was taken into DHS foster care here in the state of Arkansas because of allegations of sexual abuse. They were true. They found to be true. DHS removed that child, placed her in foster care. It takes 30 days is by policy. DHS provides a PACE evaluation, which is a full medical mock-up. Within 30 days of a kid coming into care. But this is DHS we talking about, right? This is a government service that has a revolving door when it comes to staff. It's hard to keep those seats filled, right? It took them 60 days. When that PACE evaluation came back, they realized she was 16 weeks pregnant. Now, I'm looking at this current state law here in the state of Arkansas. I'm looking down in Alabama. I'm looking at Mississippi. I'm looking all over this country. Where in the world are the medical provisions to protect that child, to protect that victim, right? Because under current state law, they would have forced that 13-year-old girl to have that baby. And I sit back and I remember those medical notes that they made us read, that the doctor felt so, so responsible that he had to put it in there. And the doctor wrote that she wouldn't have survived carrying that child to the third trimester, much less attempt to give birth. That's the kind of society that we want to live in, where we're forcing a 13-year-old victim to now produce another victim? Nah, we can do better than that.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. Our guest on this morning on Let's Talk About is Mr. Rodney Govens. Rodney Govens is the Democrat candidate for the 1st Congressional District, and he's our guest here. We're going to take a quick break for a few moments, and then we'll come back with the last half hour of our conversation with Rodney Govens, 1st Congressional District for the Democrat Party in the state of Arkansas. You're listening to KABF-FM. 88.3. We are the voice of the people.
The mission of KABF is to inform, empower, and engage our listening audience to take action that serves the immediate needs and the common good of our diverse community. We create a platform for diverse cultures and groups to share their music, interests, and concerns. We cover news and information that impacts directly on the lives of underrepresented members of the community. We provide a voice for groups and individuals often overlooked by the broader community. And we offer public affairs and education programs to address the health and well-being of the community. KABF, the voice of the people.
To celebrate International Women's Day, CARE and acclaimed photographer Nigel Barker traveled to Sierra Leone to take portraits of 7 women leaders. See the incredible portraits and stories at care.org/she-leads.
Meet Keith, loving dad, board game champ, bus driving pro.
I drive 65,000 miles in my bus each year. If people knew what I know, lives could be saved. Like how there are some things I simply can't see. On my route the other day, a car tried to sneak past me and ends up right in my blind spot. I turned slowly, so accident avoided. But no car should be in the blind spot for a 40,000-pound bus.
It's our roads. It's our safety.
Visit www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
New federal guidelines have nearly doubled the number of Black Americans eligible for lung cancer screening. Black men are the most likely Americans to die from lung cancer, and Black people develop the disease earlier in life than others. Insurance companies are required to cover these tests for those ages 50 to 80 who smoke or used to smoke. If that's you, talk to a doctor about lung cancer screening. For more information and to find a screening center near you, visit the National Lung Cancer Roundtable at nlcrt.org.
We're back in our studio right now, and you are in tune to listening to The Let's Talk About It program. My name is Larry Hicks. I'm your host, and I'll be here with you until 10 o'clock this morning. And on this 11th day of March 2024, we are talking with Mr. Rodney Govens. Rodney Govens is the Democrat candidate for the 1st Congressional District of Arkansas, and he's our guest this morning. And we are hopeful that Mr. Govens will continue to come back and use this platform as a vehicle for him to be able to get a message out over the course of the next several months until Election Day, in which he is going to be fervently making direct appeals to all of you in the state of Arkansas about the need to change and the need to look at the issues that are affecting all of us, because there ain't no such thing as an automatic switch that turns off issues. Don't happen. Ain't happening. And you've got to understand that, ladies and gentlemen, that the only way things change are when you get involved. And we're appealing to you now to get involved in considering a much more broad-based recognition of just exactly what individuals who are purported to be our representatives are doing on your behalf here in the state of Arkansas. And here is someone who is articulating a way and a path in which he views us being able to do a whole lot better than what we have been. That doesn't mean that he's going to wave a magic wand and in 2 years everything is going to be all right. It's going to take work. Lots of work, continual work, and the only way that happens is by people getting behind individuals who are going to be committed to making that work and those endeavors pay off for all of us. So to that extent, what do you consider to be some of the most prominent issues that are taking place, Mr. Gump?
So the first issue, you know, and we touched on the foster care issue, right? And that's not just an Arkansas issue, Larry. That's a national
issue. Yes, it is.
So, and here's why I kind of want to tie it together. Child goes into foster care. You know, once they hit the teenage years, I think at the age 13, exponentially the chances of you being adopted drop. We already don't have enough homes for you. We're not preparing you from DHS perspective. They're not preparing you to be an adult. So what do? When you get out of care, you go and you commit crime because you don't know what else to do. That goes ahead and then puts you in the criminal justice system as an adult, and we all know the cycle there. What if we broke that cycle, right? So one of our ideas is introducing, at the federal level, a true independent living program across the country where our teenagers that are already hard to place, that we know are unlikely to get adopted, right, have an opportunity to start learning how to live independently beginning at the age of 15. That way, and from a DHS perspective and a budgetary perspective, Larry, it's a no-brainer. We go ahead and we get a multi-dwelling unit, and we'll call it 40 apartments in a building, right? We'll double them up, and we'll say 80 kids, right? Because you got to learn how to live with a roommate. I don't know if y'all seen the cost of gas and stuff like that, but at some point as a young person, you're going to have a roommate. So let's go ahead and learn how to get that skill set now. You double them up. In one building, one caseworker can manage almost all those kids. And then you give me 3 program assistants at DHS, and I now have 24/7 coverage with 4 people total, right? Let's go ahead and get them random drug testing, because there's random drug testing depending on what industry you get into out in the real world. Let's make sure that they do have a job, or that they're so enamored with extracurricular activities that they stay busy, right? They need transportation. Let's help them. Instead of a $512 board payment going to a foster home, let's take that $512 board payment and throw it into an account. Let's take their income that they make, whether they're working part-time at Subway, McDonald's, right? Or whether they're simply working part-time here at KABF. Let's go ahead and take that income and add it in, and now let's start talking budgets. Let's get them a vehicle. Let's get them car insurance. Let's get them their license. Let's go ahead and set them up for success. And when they get ready to leave, I'm not worried about them going and committing crime. I'm worried about them just understanding the difference between TurboTax and some of these other H&R Block programs when they get out, because they're going to have to pay taxes, right? That's one idea on the foster care system, is partnering and making sure that we introduce those kinds of independent living programs. Because if we do that, we're going to eliminate a lot of crime. Our recidivism rate's going to go down. And our foster kids that are in care will actually aspire to get into an independent living program, because the number one thing that I hear from the teenagers I represent is, man, I know everything. I don't need you. Prove it. Let me go ahead and give you that platform, right? So it helps everybody. It helps DHS save money. They don't need multiple caseworkers. You just need one or two. Let's go ahead and empower DHS to take care of our kids. Let's empower our kids to be successful, right? And let's do it with the federal dollars that are already sitting there. All we got to do is reappropriate. Let's talk about the VA system. I'm a disabled veteran. I served my country from 2001 to 2005, and I served in Operation Iraqi Freedom from 03 to 04. And that was before any Burger King trailers or PXs or anything. We were sleeping up underneath the M1A1 for warmth, okay? Gore-Tex sleeping bag ain't as warm as you think it is in the dead cold of that desert. Now, I come home, and I keep hearing the same thing. Thank you for your service, right? And then Chili's and Applebee's, they give you a free meal twice a year, right? Veterans Day, Memorial
twice.
Day, man. We appreciate you, man.
Yeah.
Those other 363 days in the year, I got to deal with the VA administration. And let me tell you, if you don't know, that's a headache and a half. It takes, on average, the VA to process a claim 134 days. That's over 4 months, right? Correct me if I'm wrong. It takes 4 months. There's a lot that can happen in 4 months while I'm getting my claim processed. And then, God forbid, the VA come back and tell me, nah, this isn't service-connected, and now I got to appeal, right? Because now it's going to take 12 to 18 months on average. We're talking a year and a half on top of the 4 months that I've already waited. On average, you can start seeing the frustration. You start seeing the anger. And now you can start understanding why the VA does contribute to veteran suicide. Veterans need services, and they need an ability to go get services, and healthcare is a big part of that.
Absolutely.
So our idea is immediately upon discharge, when you get out of the military and you go to file your claim with the VA starting at day zero, you are insured through either CHAMP VA or Medicare Plan B.
Homelessness and for veterans.
There's a lot of programs out there for homeless vets that they can go to the VA. The problem is the paperwork processing, and the problem is trying to get into the program because the VA doesn't advertise it that well, right? We need to do better than that. So let's go ahead and provide the health insurance so that they can go to a VA facility, or they can go and see a nearby doctor, because I'm sorry, I drive from Cabot to the VA. And I'm going to tell you right now, you ask me to drive from Searcy, or you ask me to drive from Helena, West Helena to Little Rock, or to Searcy for the VA, that's too far. And what about our veterans that don't have vehicles?
Exactly.
What about our veterans that are stuck financially, can't afford the gas money, right? We shouldn't have a VA hospital in Little Rock, Fayetteville. We should have VA hospitals and
resources
everywhere. Yes. Everywhere across the 1st Congressional District, at
absolutely,
because that's heavily populated with veterans.
And you would think that some genius inside the annals of government would be thinking like that and say, hey, Governor, how about us starting a infrastructure program of building veteran administration centers throughout the entire state of Arkansas and not singularly just in Little Rock or in Fayetteville?
They call them satellite hospitals, satellite treatment centers, and you have them in the more heavily populated areas, right? Jonesboro's got one, Cabot uses a different facility; it's contracted out, but Searcy has one, right? But Searcy's population is like 30,000.
Mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Cabot's population, I would argue that the census is wrong. You know, maybe in the city limits, it's only like 28,000. But I would argue Cabot's population is closer to about 35,000, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you've got all these different rural communities that have populations nowhere near that, and they're not. That's the ones that need the satellite offices. Those are the ones that need the resources readily available, because you got veterans that live out there for a good reason, right? We ain't trying to fool with them big city people. I don't want to fool with them folks. So why would I penalize you? Why wouldn't I help you? Why wouldn't I empower our veterans, right? To have the medical freedom to go see a doctor of their choosing.
Yes.
So that's our idea. Absolutely. Day zero, the day that you file a claim with the VA and you've been discharged from military service, immediately your medical insurance is CHAMP VA or Medicare Plan B.
Has your opponent taken any kind of position on that?
Absolutely. He's actually, he recently was quoted as not understanding how to fund the PAC Act, which is why he voted no on the PAC Act. And for those of you that don't know the PAC Act, it's the Burn Pit Act, right? Whenever you're in a combat theater, you can be exposed to toxic chemicals through the burn pits, and everybody's supposed to be on burn pit detail, right? I know I've done my share, right? Really won't get into the details of it because it's kind of disgusting, but you gotta burn your stuff as you traverse throughout a war. You can't leave any semblance that you were there. You don't want to be tracked, right? There's no better way. They don't think that there's a better way to dispose of this stuff. So you're throwing toxic chemicals into a fire. It's going up into the air. And then all of a sudden, you're breathing that stuff in, right? My opponent voted no against that. But my beef with him is not that he just voted no. It's that no meant a lot to those Vietnam-era veterans, the ones that paved the way for me to get that thank you for your service. Because when Vietnam-era veterans came home, they didn't get that. Nobody said thank you for your service. They got spat on. They got called baby killer. They didn't come home to a parade and a rousing, you know, applause in a gymnasium somewhere for their entire unit to be celebrated. They came off of commercial flights, and they had their baggage dropped somewhere, and they didn't know how they were going to get home. Those guys went through the ringer, and that exposure to Agent Orange was denied by the VA. Denied by the Veterans Administration for decades.
Yes, it was.
And the Burn Pit Act made it retroactive so that those guys could go get their benefits that they've been denied for decades. The ones that got spat on. I took it personally that man voted no on the PAC Act. I also took it personally that he decided corruption's not that big of a deal, because corruption to me is. You can't be corrupt. You can't have conflicts of interest. Right?
Right.
I come from the telecom.
And you can't have double standards either.
Absolutely not. I come from the telecom space. But while I'm running for office, I can't be working at a telecom company. Because then if I end up being some kind of pro-telecom guy, right, all of a sudden there's a conflict that, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to avoid that. That's my particular take on it. And that seems to be a pretty popular take amongst the people, Republicans and Democrats alike, right? Mm-hmm. But he decided, nah, corruption ain't that big of a deal. George Santos ain't that bad of a guy. George Santos is one of the most corrupt House of Representatives, yes, congressional was. Reps that we've ever seen. This man was buying Gucci bags with campaign money. He had an OnlyFans account. Now, you sitting there, you donating to his campaign, and he's, you know, talking about yard signs and things like that. But then he's turning around and getting on OnlyFans. I don't know what all's on there, but I've heard the stories, right? I don't think that's something that deserves a no vote on. I think that's something that we need to vote on, and it needs to be, yes, expel this guy. My opponent didn't even vote. He held true. He held true to Arkansas standards like you were passionate about earlier. He said, I ain't voting.
Yeah.
That's unacceptable.
What is your position on health care? Should we have a health care system in the state of Arkansas in which you would be so fortunate to represent that is, first of all, one, inclusive and not exclusive, to be able to give the type of assistance at all levels to people who are victimized by them?
I think when it comes to healthcare, that, man, it's so complicated and so complex. We've made it that way. So I think we need to simplify things by simply, and I like asking questions to provoke the thought, Larry. What in the world am I paying health insurance for if I still got to come out of pocket for all this crap, right? Now, you done got me every month coming out of my paycheck, right? And some employers subsidize better than others, but we'll just say I'm spending, you know, $400 a month on health insurance for me, my wife, and my kids. That's what I was paying at my last job. So $400 a month, but I got to meet a deductible, right? My deductible at the time was $2,500. Because I don't want my kids being sick and then I'm constantly having to come out of pocket.
Right.
Well, then I meet my deductible. But then after I meet my deductible, I still got a copay to go see the doctor. Copay was about $50. Then I got to go to the pharmacy and I got to fill a prescription. And I got to pay, you know, of $200, I got to pay like $50 for a prescription, right? Which is cool. I appreciate the 75% discount. But what is my $400 a month going towards if I still got to come out of pocket and pay all that other stuff? See, I think that we need to start having a bigger conversation about health insurance and healthcare coverage in this country. And I think the way that we need to go about it is starting to ask the questions on what is health insurance really?
Exactly.
That's that at the end of the day, what is it really? Because if you're going to charge me and I'm going to pay you, then you can't put these rules in place to continue to do a money grab on me. And I am sick. A buddy of mine got cancer years ago. One of my best friends in the world. He died of a glioblastoma brain cancer. And I remember the medical bills that he had to deal with. I cannot express how disappointing it was. It was uplifting too. Now, don't get me wrong. It's a positive, but it's also a negative on the big picture. His coworkers, his company that he worked at, you know, shouts out to Bright House Cable down in Tampa, Florida, which is now Spectrum. But Bright House Cable came together, and the entire organization, the entire company, paid off a lot of his medical debt. They did collections. They did bake sales. They were raising money. They paid off a lot of his medical debt. They shouldn't have had to do that.
Absolutely not.
That's the disappointing part. I love the fact that they came together as a community and took care of one of my best friends that I've ever had in my life. But, man, that is disappointing that they had to do that. Larry, we got to have a higher conversation about healthcare. And it goes into gun rights, too. We got to have a conversation about that. They had a mass shooting in Jonesboro yesterday, Larry. Can we stop hiding behind thoughts and prayers?
Yes.
Can we start actually doing something? Can we just have a conversation? I own guns at my house, Larry. I'm a gun owner. I'm a proud gun owner. I've been trained on weapons when I was in the military. I know guns. I'm cool with rifles and guns. Own what you want. But there has to be a conversation around you carrying an AR or an M16A2 on aisle 7 at Kroger, and now you yelling about the Frosted Flakes that they moved to the top shelf. And they moved it from the bottom shelf. Yeah. It's not my fault that you're 5'8". Don't let off around. That's the era that we live in now, is that people think it's acceptable to sling a rifle across their back and walk in a grocery store. I don't need that. Maybe we need to start having conversations around gun insurance.
Well, those are issues that we can get into in the future as we continue to hope that you will make yourself available to come back and visit with us and let the people of Arkansas know that you are running for the 1st Congressional District of the state of Arkansas, and that there is a imminent need to change. And not only change in the personality, but change in the way people think about addressing issues here in the state of Arkansas. Some say they are archaic, and others say that they are completely and totally nonsensical and out of place. I fall somewhere in the middle on a lot of them. But we're going to give you this opportunity, Mr. Governor, to be able to make a final few more comments before we close out the program this morning. So the floor is yours. Why should people vote for
you? You know, if anybody wants to see what we're about, our platform is fully transparent. We keep it up on our website, rodneyforcongress.org. That's RodneyForCongress.org. Feel free to visit our website. If you know, just because you don't live in the 1st Congressional District, if you're listening to this, that doesn't mean that you can't get involved and help us out, because a win for the 1st Congressional District here, when I get elected, is actually a win for everybody across Arkansas and across the country. We'll be one of 435 congressional representatives, and we need all the help we can get. So feel free to visit our website. Donate if you can. We need all the help we can get. We want to get direct mailers out. We want to get yard signs. We want to do all those things that congressional candidates do, but we need your help to do it. And I do want to leave you with this. We can change. I know it seems hopeless. I know when you sit back and you look at the landscape of Arkansas politics and you see a supermajority that disregards people's real feelings on the matter. And when you look across the congressional representatives that are trying to, you know, coordinate and you know, they're conspiracy wise, get together and try to change a river designation. And when you look across the gambit and you see that your veteran grandfather or father or uncle isn't being taken care of by the VA, it feels hopeless. It feels desolate, but it ain't. Because there's one way that you can change things, and it is you that changes these things and nobody else. But it's going to take some effort. It's going to take you getting up to go vote and bringing people with you. We can do this, and we can fix all these problems, but we can only fix these problems together. So I hope you join us on this wild adventure running for Congress.
Thank you, Rodney Govins, who is the first Democrat candidate for the first congressional district of the state of Arkansas, one of the largest in the state. And you will be hearing more from Mr. Govins in the coming weeks ahead from now until November. And I hope that he will be able to accommodate us, and we'll present him with a platform to talk about a number of issues that we did not get into on the day. But the most significant one that we did mention is voting. We want you to understand that there is a critical need for you to vote, and vote for the people who are going to best represent you. And additionally, coming up in a few more minutes is going to be jazz right here on the station. But in order for us to be able to continue providing you with the requisite programming on all of this radio station, and it's no braggadociousness that we're trying to take in any way, shape, or form. But KBF FM is the most singularly diverse radio station throughout the entire city. The most diverse. You're not going to hear the things in music like the best in jazz that my man Mr. Mood provides and will be providing for the next 2 hours anywhere but here. You're not going to hear, the kind of talk that is plain and simple and not partisan in any way, shape, or form. You have to be committed to be able to understand the need for supporting this radio station through your donations. And that number is 501-433-0088. Spend anything you can, from a centavo to some dinero. We need your funds in order to keep us running. Do not dismiss the fact that we are running on air and through the generosity of some mysterious billionaire, because he ain't showed up yet. That's why we need you here. So please tune in to our program next Monday, when our guest will be Kwame Abdul-Bey. And the question is, can 16 to 17-year-olds vote for a candidate who is running for the Board of Education of the Little Rock School District? That is a topic of great interest and should be addressed in a civil fashion as to whether they can or can't. I want to hear your reasons why they can't, because I think they can and should be able to vote for those candidates. All right, that's going to wrap up all the time we have today. Come next, Mr. Mood, we hope that you will enjoy the music that he'll be bringing you on today. Our thanks to our production manager, Mr. Russell Carpenter, and certainly we thank Mr. Rodney Govins for being here on today. With that being said, we hope you have a great Monday and even a better week. We'll see you on next Monday with Kwame Abdul-Bey as our special guest. You're listening to KABF FM 88.3. We are the voice of the people.